Welcome to another podcast in our series for the International Chamber of Commerce UK branch. This is ICC's World Business Podcast recorded in London on the 11th of September 2017. I'm Jonathan Harvey and we are delighted to be joined by Guy Willans, COO at Trade River Finance, an alternative trade finance service provider. Thank you for joining me today, Guy. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jonathan. Really glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Guy, to start with, could you perhaps quickly outline how Trade River help UK businesses in reaching their growth goals?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all. Well, fundamentally, Trade River is all about providing for growth. The companies that we target are all about growth. You know, they're great companies that are growing fast that actually need a boost in the arm. So effectively, we provide trade finance to importers and indirectly to exporters, but to anyone who makes purchases. So what we provide is an unsecured line of working capital, which is 100% financed. And when I say unsecured, I mean there are no charges over any of the goods, there are no debentures, no PGs, it is completely unsecured. And it will enable businesses to fund their purchases at any point in the trade cycle. So that's, if they want to, they can provide 100% upfront prepayment, or they can pay at the end of the credit period given to them by a supplier. In terms of who we fund, well, we look at profitable, creditworthy businesses who are probably already having facilities from banks and actually need a top-up to enable them to grow. And we provide them with more headroom and flexibility. Now, flexibility is a key word because actually we will fund all sorts of things that banks won't fund. We will fund speculative transactions, we'll fund perishable goods, we'll fund media spends, we fund clicks on the internet, we pay lawyers' fees. We will pay anything as long as it's not for drugs, sex, or guns, or indeed directly for payment of money. So we will not pay your tax. But indirectly, we could pay for your tax by paying your freight forwarder, for example, who's already paid your tax. We can also work with your buyers who, if they're credit worthy and you're not credit worthy, we can provide a supplier finance option whereby we use their credit, your buyer's credit, to enable you to get funded. So you pay for the cost of our service, but your buyer's creditworthiness enables us to work with them to enable you to get paid early. So you can work with them, have an agreement, bring us on board, and we will enable you to get paid early and pay the cost of that service. So a form of supply chain finance, if you like.
So Guy, is digitalisation of trade finance just for the big businesses? How can it be used to help small and mid-sized companies?
The short answer to that relatively short question is yes, initially. It is just for the big businesses. Well, it will be just for the big businesses when a solution is actually implemented by whoever gets there first. But really, anything that happens for small and medium-sized businesses will be a trickle-down from the solution that's done for large businesses. So the large corporates are the ones where the banks and the large trade houses are going to be targeting in terms of finding a digital solution. And therefore, small and medium-sized businesses are just going to benefit from any runoff from that solution. So That's not a bad thing, but it just happens that, you know, large banks, large trade houses make their money from large businesses. Therefore, from a monetary perspective, they're always going to focus on providing a solution or establishing a solution that works for their major customers first and foremost. We've already seen large businesses move away from the SME marketplace and move away to a certain extent from the MME marketplace. You know, we've had a reduction in numbers of trade finance specialists in large banks. We've seen a sort of retrenching to a higher level, a sort of minimum threshold in terms of facilities, and that's reduced the availability of trade finance for small and medium sized businesses. And you know, that might in the long term be solved by digitization, but it's definitely not going to be in the short term. What the banks are really doing is that they're working in some cases together in small or medium-sized groups, but not across the board to produce and explore digital opportunities. So there's a lot of stuff going on around distributed ledger technology or blockchain. People are exploring the opportunities there and getting quite quite together. You know, also some of the larger banks are working with some financial technology companies and looking at their solutions. But the banks and the large corporates are, without a shadow of a doubt, aiming their solutions at large corporates. And nobody is really looking at the small to medium-sized companies. And that's kind of inevitable, given the flow of money. But what is clear to me is that this is all going to take a lot of time, and we'll get to that later on, I think, in some of your later questions. But in the meantime, you know, TradeRiver have come along and we've said, okay, the SMEs and the MMEs haven't got a solution to trade finance. They haven't got a solution to grow when they've got no more facilities available from their existing banks. So when the banks have said, actually, that's enough, you know, that's the limit that's the limit of security you've got, and therefore that's the limit of where your facilities are going to be. But you know, those SMEs or their MMEs wanting to grow, you know, we've got a solution that's unsecured, balance sheet neutral, and will allow those businesses to grow alongside their, you know, as a facility alongside their existing facilities. So you know, we've got a solution now. I think the solution for the rest of it will come, but how long it's going to take, I don't know.
Thank you, Guy.
Despite the many benefits, it seems that a considerable amount of work still needs to be done for the trade and trade finance industries to appreciate the benefits of digitalisation. What should players do to help accelerate the digitalisation journey? And are there any key barriers to digitalisation that we need to overcome?
Well, it's a really good question. I mean, I think everybody can appreciate the benefits. It's just actually implementing those benefits implementing the solution that's the difficulty. The process of trade finance is generally paperwork heavy with numerous stakeholders, and it depends entirely on the underlying trade process. So effectively, you've got to sort out the trade process first, and you've got to get a digital solution for the trade process in order to then be able to put trade finance on top of it. And that's quite challenging, because international trade effectively incorporates numerous different stakeholders. So you've got governments, you've got port authorities, you've got tax authorities, you've got freight forwarders, you've got shipping companies, you've got the end buyers, you've got banks, you've got all sorts of people involved in this whole process. It's incredibly complex, and at the moment, the ICC does a good job of putting a series of guides for people to use, but because it's right the way across the world, because it's international trade, because you've got so many different competing and parties, it's very, very, very complicated. And until you simplify that and make a really simple base case for everybody to use, which you can then layer on top of in terms of trade finance offerings or additional add-ons to that base case, that digital solution for trade, you're not really going to get anywhere. You know, you can have blockchain, you can have distributed ledger technology, but unless you've got underlying solutions for the trade itself, it's going to be really difficult to implement them.
Thanks, Guy. And Guy, finally, considering digitalisation in particular, what do you expect to see in the future of trade finance? What should be the key priorities?
Well, the key priorities kind of links into your last question. I didn't really finish it by saying, you know, we need common ground, we need to work together, we need to get a base solution that everyone buys into. And that's the real difficulty. I mean, I think you've got to get this agreement across all parties that actually, you know, we've got to move away from trade as it has been historically for umpteen years, being very, very manual processed, being very paper driven, being incredibly slow, being ticked off by individuals on paper at different locations. And we've got to move to a position whereby there's a fully integrated, all singing, all dancing electronic platform that actually meets a number of key criteria. It has to obviously be incredibly secure. It has to meet all the regulatory requirements. And I think that's a real challenge. I mean, yeah, there are bits going on at the moment. There's stuff about artificial intelligence, there's machine learning, and a lot of people talking in the short term about OCR, which is optical character recognition. So that's actually taking the paperwork that's out there at the moment and digitizing it so that people can actually read it But fundamentally, I think we need to move to a platform that works across the world for everybody. And I think that's going to be really challenging and really difficult to do. But I think someone like the ICC has got a really important job to work on pushing that forward and making it happen.
Thank you for your time today, Guy.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And hopefully you can join us again.
I'd love to.
You've been listening to the World Business Podcast from ICC United Kingdom. If you'd like to be one of our guest speakers on our podcast channel, please contact myself by email, jharvey@iccwbo.uk. Thank you for listening.